On this episode of the Autumn Windbags, it is victory week, baby. The Raiders are coming off their first win of the season over the Broncos. So now we look ahead to the Kansas City Chiefs for the keys to victories there. We grade Josh McDaniels after his first four games of the season. Is the offensive line figured out? And are me and Soto an old married couple? And we love, we subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. The Raiders!
Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today. Victory week.
Feels good.
Victory week. I tell you what, man.
It's been a while.
I don't care how long your dry spell was. You can not get laid for 10 years.
Oh, God.
But if it's the Monday morning after you got laid that weekend, you're walking around chest out.
God.
Strutting your step, a gleam in your eye.
Balls
life
empty.
Is good after a dub.
Oh, yeah. That first bust off, that's woo.
That's we needed special. It. That's something special.
What we did, the way we did it, how we looked doing it. Good stuff. All good stuff.
The Broncos are like your buddy's like super slutty sister where like everyone's taking their turns. Like, all right, I'm this giant slump. It's like, all right, I need a slump buster. Let's ask, you know, Jeremy's sister what's going on. That's the Broncos. The Las Vegas Raiders have never lost to the Broncos. Just the ultimate slump busters.
Oh, I love it. Beautiful. I love it.
It's donkey what we punch need. The donkeys.
Yep. Just freaking right in the back of the head. It's like,
all right, we'll get to that game. The good, the bad, the ugly from that. We'll get to some Josh McDaniels talk, some O-line talk, a bunch of stuff. But first question of the day, the only question of the day, and it'll be down and pinned in the comment section. Very curious what you guys make of this Raider Nation. Genuinely curious what you guys think. How do you grade Josh McDaniels after four games? A, def. A plus, C minus, F, B minus. Where do you grade Josh McDaniels after four games? Not where do you think we're going to go, not what you thought ahead of time. Josh McDaniels, the new head coach, how do you grade him four games into the 17-game season? Soto, I know you had very high hopes for him. How do you make of him right this second?
It's tough because I see a lot of things that are much improved, but the record isn't. Mm-hmm. And that's ultimately what matters. It's the production. It's what you can have all these peripheral things go right for you, but when it counts, that's what matters is if do you win or you lose. Because of that, I'd give him a C minus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's difficult, man. It's hard because I think Josh McDaniels is caught in the middle of a reputation and a reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he's kind of caught in the middle of. And I think we can do much better. I think we can finish out these close games. I think off of what we've seen from the AFC West, it's a very winnable division. I think we can win this division, but we got to start now. We got to start this week getting that dub. I'm very encouraged by the penalties. We are one of the lowest penalized teams in the league after being the highest penalized team in the league for the last 10 years, basically.
30 years.
Yeah, it's been forever. So that's not by accident, you know? So that attention to detail is going to show up in other areas, and it showed up on Sunday. So I'm very hopeful moving forward, but there's still a couple things he needs to clean up. But ultimately, your production is what matters the most. And at 1-3, yeah, it's not good.
I'm going D plus for a lot of the same reasons as you. The close games, I feel like that's where coaching should help. And he's struggled more than I thought play calling. I thought play calling, at least we got that in our back pocket. Like, all right, we got, he failed as the head coach before. We're all optimistic. He's put those problems behind us. But he has a strong record as a play caller, strong record as an offensive coordinator. We got that in the bag. We don't. So that's definitely keeping me below a C. But all the positive, all the silver linings you brought up, right? The penalties for one. Even though we did lose those three games, they were very close. You get some moral victory points there. It seems like the team's not falling apart despite starting 0-3. No one was pointing fingers. Like, there's a little emotion there, like, as you'd expect, but
and you want that too. You want a little bit of that.
But for most, you know, he kept this team on the straight and narrow, kept the saddle on him more or less. So I'm with you in the sense that I think the problems the Raiders have are something that can be dealt with time. New system, cohesion, everyone learning new stuff, whole new roster in a lot of ways. Things that, you know, time can help that, but we're not grading what's happening in the future. We're grading the last four games.
Exactly.
Last four games. Yeah. I'll give him a D+. What do you guys say? A to F, your grade, down in the comment section. Don't let us sway you. Although, you know, it's impossible because we're pretty swayy.
We're that charismatic.
We're pretty swayzy. I watched a Roadhouse last night for the first time.
Such in a movie.
It's probably 20 years.
It still holds up.
Dude, the campiest shit ever. But
yeah, it's so a good great. Time.
Hey, soundtrack, genuinely a 10 out of 10. Not even like campy, not even nostalgia, just pure soundtrack. I could rock to that shit.
Dude, you put that on and you have a long drive, like you will not even feel it. You will be there before you know it. And if you walk into a bar with a guy with a mullet like that, you are not messing around in that place.
Yeah, guaranteed that guy's been practicing spinning back kicks against the wall.
He's got loose pants on. He's ready
to go. All right, A to F. How do you grade Josh McDaniels after four games? All right, well, let's look back at that wonderful win over the Donkeys with the good, the bad, the ugly. The Broncos ride their jackasses into Las Vegas, walk out losers 23-32. The Raiders trailed in the first, took over in the second, never looked back. First dub of the season under our wing.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. We start with the good like we always do. Josh Jacobs, have yourself a goddamn day.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and tote that rock and have yourself a goddamn day. 28 carries, 144 yards, 2 touchdowns, 5 receptions, 31 yards. For you mathematicians out there, that's 33 touches for 175 yards. That, my friends, is a game. Great job, Josh Jacobs.
What have we been preaching forever? This O-line, pass protection, terrible. Run protection, not bad. And improving.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's that rock. I am convinced that's why we won the toss and wanted to have the ball. We couldn't afford giving up a touchdown and being down early. Let's get the ball first. We won the toss. We wanted the ball. And let's start our game plan and impose our game plan. So great job, Josh Jacobs.
Against a great defense.
Ooh, those against guys are good, really good, man. And we held up pretty good run blocking and pass blocking, too. We held up pretty good. So, nice job, boys. Next on the list is Davante Adams. 9 receptions for 101 yards. Even though we didn't complete butt passes too far down the field in this game, Devontae still found a way to get his, even though he got one of the best cornerbacks in the league on him talking all that shit.
Yeah.
He still got his.
Patrick Surtain, I'm convinced, is going to be considered maybe the best cornerback in football by the end of the season.
Like, he's so goddamn good.
It's not that crazy. It's not that hot of a take to say, like, all right, when the Super Bowl's over, like, who's the best cornerback in football? Patrick Surtain could very well be it. Not only was Surtain on Devontae, but Devontae was also double covered plus Patrick Surtain and still got a bunch of receptions. Like, even when Devontae was getting those catches, Surtain was draped all over that motherfucker and he still got 101 yards. Like, their goal was to stop. That was their goal. That was their entire defensive goal. Stop Davante Adams. Still had 3 digits in yards.
Yeah, you know, it's one of so that was a good a win for them. Keeping Davante to just 9 catches for 101 yards. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, we're good with that. Like, that's how good Davante Adams is they're fine with 9 catches and 100 yards. Cuz they know what he can do. Next on the list, Amik Robertson. I should say Robertson, but this is Amik Roberts. I don't know what happened there, but Amik Robertson.
Robert Sr., not Robertson. He's the grown-up now.
All right, there we go. Had a rough little start. Jerry Jeudy kind of not only did he catch a pass on him early in the game, but he sunned him afterwards. Like, he's, yeah, hey, you're too short. He went down like this. You're too short to guard me. That's why you can't guard me. And when Amik had that switch flipped, and that was it. Because the rest of the game, I don't think anyone completed any passes on him. He drilled Judy on a short pass. And also the big play, recovered a fumble, 68 yards for a touchdown. Showed some great moves in that. So great job, Amik Robertson.
Yeah, the fumble recovery, I keep calling it an interception return because it felt that way, right? Because it was like a fumble that popped out and like fell into his hands. Like, that was a gift. But the return, like, God. if Josh McDaniels doesn't genuinely, not just like for a headline or for fun, doesn't genuinely say, Amik, could you return punts? Could you return kickoffs? Like, let's take a look. Let's just take a look. Let's see. Let's kick the tires. Like, he just went 68 yards to the house.
And we're gonna revisit that later. You took the words out of my mouth, but we're gonna revisit that.
Hunter Renfrow keeps getting hurt in a concussion, so he's not gonna be returning punts. Like, all right, like, let's. You should, after that, you should genuinely kick the tires on Amik returning punts or kick.
That was an amazing return. He set up blocks. He hit holes when they were there, and when he found that open field, we saw the speed. So great job, Amik Robertson. Divine Diablo, 8 tackles, 3 solo. Nothing crazy, but, you know, he had a solid game. Denzel Perryman, before he got hurt, he left in the, what was it, the third quarter with a concussion?
No, he didn't. He was ruled out at the half.
At the half.
Yeah.
So in the half, he had football. 5 tackles, 4 solo, and 2 tackles for loss in a half. So excellent job. Hopefully he comes back sooner. He's able to come back, so I don't want to rush him back.
Ankle injury and now concussion protocol. That's the only thing slowing down.
Yeah, but he was a thumper for sure. What we needed. Mad Max again. It's like every week this guy's filling up stats.
Is he really 4 for 4 on being in the good of the good, the bad, and the ugly?
Yeah,
I think he's 4 for 4
every week. Every week
he's in it.
4 tackles, all 4 of them solo tackles, which means a lot of them were tackles for loss, which they all were tackles for loss because he's shooting the gaps. No one could block him. And 2 sacks. So great job, Mad Max. Our boy.
Real quick. We're good. Our boy, Rory, you saw this when he sent message us. Max Crosby is on pace for 115 tackles, 17 sacks, 34 tackles for a loss, 4 passes defended, 38 quarterback hits, and 4 forced fumbles through 4 games.
And the thing is no one game has been like a non-Max game. It's not like he went apeshit one game. It's been like every single game has been consistent. He's doing this every single game.
It's not like Chandler Jones last season, right? Who got 5 sacks in one game, and that was like the whole reason he got into double-digit sacks. It's like, no, Max has been disrupting and fucking up every front line whose only goal is to handle him. Like, that's the only guy you're game planning for on that front 4.
Yeah. We saw a little bit of life from Chandler Jones this last game. Hopefully we see a little bit more coming up, but yeah, Mad Max, if he hits those numbers, he's going to be the MVP of the league. There's no way he can have those type of numbers and not be given consideration. So, Nate Hobbs, man, this kid, second year, not afraid of anybody or anything. And I'm loving it, man. 3 tackles, all 3 of them solo on the outside, 1 sack, 1 tackle for loss and a pass defense. He's filling up the stat sheet. People don't like throwing at him. When they do, they're sorry they did. Great job, Nate Hobbs. And he's not afraid to get his nose dirty, too.
Second-year player, and offense is already like, let's throw the other way.
Yeah, let's go away from this guy. Next on the good, our offense. We were 7 for 14 on third downs. That's good, man. 50%? I'll take it. We've been pretty poor these first couple of games.
That's what happens when you're 3rd and 2 because you're running the ball well and not 3rd and 10 because you went back-to-back incompletions.
Yeah, for sure. And also, along the lines of third down conversion, our defense only allowed 3 of 11 third down conversions. So defense did a good job getting them off the field. We did a good job converting those thirds. Quarterback running, 7 rushes for 40 yards, 3 of them for first down. So when you have those shorter, I mean, even though one of them was a 20 freaking yarder, I mean, he would have been 3rd and 19 would have been run for a first down. But yeah, when your quarterback can rush for 3 first downs to keep the chains moving, that's a good thing.
It was a good adjustment by Carr because they're playing too high. They're bracketing Waller. They're bracketing Adams. And no one's spying Derek Carr. Like, you're not wasting a linebacker to spy on Derek Carr. And so it was a nice adjustment. He's like, all right, if I got to run, I will. And he's got wheels. Like, he ran like a 4.6 in the combine. It's just he just fumbles so much. You don't never want him to.
Yeah, but if it's just nervous.
But if it's just green grass and the boundary, that's it. Like, he could beat an end. He can beat an end of the corner and get an extra 5 yards before like a safety catches him. That's what he did. That's the most rushing yards he's had in a game in the NFL.
Yeah, like, ultimately, if you're a 3rd and 3, what does it matter if you run for 5 yards or throw for 5 yards? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You got the first down and you move the ball. As long as you're smart with the ball and you're smart with your body, I'm good with it. All right. We have the good. There cannot be good without bad, unfortunately. Or else it'd just be nothing. It'd be everything. Everything would be the same thing.
It'd be vanilla, here's the bad every day.
It'd be ass. Carlson missing an extra point. What the heck was that?
So that's Carlson. He missed, what, 2 or 3 extra points last season? Like, 3. Not blocks, not bad snaps. He has yet to miss a field goal at Allegiant.
Yeah. He loves the background. He said on an interview, he loves the backdrops. He loves how mm-hmm. everything looks. It's really easy for him to concentrate.
When you look at Daniel Carlson's just like field goal numbers, you're blown away. And then you see like 4 missed extra points and 20 games, 21 games. You're like,
extra points, 40 for 44. Jesus.
Even Superman's got his kryptonite. And with Daniel Carlson, he's going to miss 2 or 3 extra points randomly every year. It's just going to happen. And I'm glad it happened in a game where we won by 9.
Yeah. It was pretty rough when they got within 2. And I'm like, God damn it, Carlson. Mm-hmm. But no, we were good. So that was bad. Passing game, if I'm being picky, 5.5 yards per attempt, that's not what you want to get from your passing game. You want to have a more balanced attack that way. 34 pass attempts for under 200 yards. That's pretty rough. Hopefully we can clean that up a little bit moving forward. Now on to the ugly. Keelan Cole and Tyron Johnson punt returns. It was a shit show every single time back there. Yeah. They don't know who, me, you. It's like Knight the Roxbury. Me, him, me, him. Who knows who was supposed to get the ball? They're running into each other. They're blocking guys into each other. It's a shit show back there. And that's why I said I was going to put Amik Robertson back there, because with the ball, he looked pretty damn good.
Remember when we got shit from Rory for saying that Hunter Renfrow should return punts? It's like, here's the alternative.
Dumb and dumber back there running into each other. What the fuck?
And it's not just like, oh, he's got good wiggle. It's like, no, he's really sure-handed. He can play safety if he needs to. And these two dudes are blocking into each other. Like,
yeah, not a good look. That would have been disastrous for us if any one of those two punts that they were screwing around with. And Keelan Cole, like, touched the punt and it bounced. And like, oh, crap, I can't not pick that up, you know? So, yeah, we got to clean that up, man. Punt return, you got to clean that up. Also, red zone offense, I mean, technically they were 2 for 5, but one of the drives stalled at the 22. So, I mean, if you want to say 6, whatever. Technically 2 for 5, 2 touchdowns and 3 field goals. Got to be a little bit better than that in the red zone, get more touchdowns. I think moving forward we will.
Damn good game in a lot of ways.
It's great when the good part of the good, bad, and ugly is the longest part.
Damn good game. A lot of ways.
Yep.
All right. Well, Josh McDaniels has now been the head coach for the Las Vegas Raiders for 4 games. And that's like enough time. That's enough data to kind of start making some early judgments to say like, all right, there's enough pieces of information where we can start kind of putting together a narrative a little bit. And so after 4 games, obviously it's a disappointment at 1-3, right? No matter what happens, no matter what the other numbers are, 1-3 is disappointing. Specifically that it was the Cardinals, specifically that, we should have won against the Titans. Like, the Titans begged us to win that game and come back, and we still couldn't follow through. It hurts a little, a little more even after that. But after 4 games, few things I picked up. Like I mentioned earlier, The two things that I thought that Josh McDaniels would bring to the table, the two things that I thought were most important to him, the two things that I thought this is when he woke up in the middle of the night in a sweat, breathing heavy. His wife has to like shake him awake. Are you okay, Joshy Poo? What's going on? Turnovers and penalties, right? Two things that I thought would be his biggest priority. Okay. One of them, he's doing great. Penalties, seventh fewest penalties in the NFL. From the Raiders.
That's good.
The Raiders, the most penalized team of the last 30 years, the most penalized team of the last 10 years, multiple seasons on a consistent basis. The Raiders are the most penalized team in football, right? We talked about with like when Gus Bradley came over last season and how like how bad Paul Gunther was, how bad the last like 10, 20, 30 years of defense was. Turning that around, like battleships don't do U-turns. It takes a long time to turn something that big with that big of a history around. And it's true, right? Like the defense got a little better, but still below average. To get the Raiders to get their penalty issues in order on a dime, damn near miraculous. Not only that, but opponents are penalized the second most against the Raiders. There's only one other team in football that gets more penalties against them than the Raiders. So not only are we doing it on our end, we're instigating the other end. We're getting the extra points. We're getting the bonus penalties. We're saying we're so under control. We're so disciplined. We're going to toy with you guys. We're going to start fainting a little bit. We're going to start baiting you a little bit. We're going to start like getting you to do penalties because we're so disciplined. My favorite stat so far of the first four games, the fact that our penalties are under control and we're making people penalize against us.
And that's why I'm very optimistic about the future of this season, because the only way you can get your penalties under control is with attention to detail and consistency. So anything that's wrong with this team can be fixed with attention to detail and consistency. You know, that's a great stat to be optimistic for in the future.
The other thing I thought would be his biggest point of contention and attention would be turnovers. They're not quite as good. We're at minus two turnover margin, 25th in football, right? Minus two. Second lowest in takeaways. In four games, we have three takeaways. That's it. 20th in giveaways. We've given the ball away five times. Now, if you go back to game one, when Carr had the three picks, that's a big chunk of it, right? Since then, we didn't even give him no interceptions, no turnovers, no fumbles for Derek Carr. You got to give him his due. He gets an applause every time. When you turn the ball over as much as Derek, this is crazy. Think about this. You're looking for the silver lining? Yeah, we're minus two in turnover. If you don't count the Nashville game when Carr's pass just bounced off of Waller's hands like a volleyball set and it was interception, if you don't count that, that's three straight games of no turnovers for Derek Carr. That is Josh McDaniels at work. That's Josh McDaniels saying, all right, run a little bit more, throw it away a little bit more. Hey, if you throw for under 200 yards because of running the ball well, great. Just protect that goddamn ball. Yeah. So not good currently. On the defense, on the offense, not too bad, not terrible with the giveaways. And we're definitely trending in the right direction. Defense, we really got to get some turnovers. Like I don't know what the recipe is, but second worst in football. That's bad, especially against some of the bad teams we've played.
I think on your second point, I think it's going to be a consistent pressure. Mm-hmm. Although Max does a really good job of filling his own stat sheet, that's a small chunk of the overall plays that are played out there, right? Mm-hmm. So we need to have a second guy. We need to have a guy that can kind of, whenever Max isn't there, the other guy gets there. So there's constant pressure. With that constant pressure, that constant hurry, you're going to see those off schedule throws, stuff like that. That's going to, you know, help us, you know, with more interceptable balls, right? That's the word, above balls. Yeah. Anyway, as far as turning the ball over ourselves, I think that in this game, I'm very, I came to an epiphany. I was looking at things the wrong way. I think that we found our recipe moving forward. I think that Josh McDaniels put his finger on it. This is how we have to play moving forward. We've seen our quarterback turned wide open, let it rip. Here's the whole game plan. Here's the whole playbook type of thing. Didn't look great week one, right? Turned the ball over a lot, relying too much on him to move the ball and all that stuff. Not great. Second half of game two, same thing. Couldn't really get the run game going in the second half because we really didn't use it too much in the first half. We weren't really giving ourselves opportunities. We're asking too much of the quarterback position, right? The Nashville game was just a shit show of we let the quarterback down in that game. I look back on the game and there were some missed reads and everything, but ultimately the drop touchdown passes is what cost us that game. This last game, this is how we need to run our offense. We need to rely heavily on our running attack. We don't need to ask our quarterback to do too much. Okay. We've tried in the past to do that with mixed results. And Josh McDaniels with, and I'm not saying that our quarterback is like a rookie quarterback or whatever. No, but you kind of have to treat him like one in this sense because it is his first year in the system. Is you give him as much as he shows he can handle during game day. Practice, all that stuff, who cares about that? When our quarterback is under fire, whatever he shows he can handle and what he can execute correctly, that's how much we give him, right? And if we have to start off a little bit slower right now, like I think kind of the Denver game was more of a reset game. And we relied heavily we got lucky, but we were fortunate to get a defensive touchdown and we relied on our run game a lot. That's our recipe for success. Quarterback makes one or two, you know, we ask him to make one or two big throws a half, maybe two to three a game. And once he starts hitting on those, then we can kind of make that a bigger part of the offense. But for right now, don't ask too much of the quarterback position.
It's not just playing to your strengths, but also playing against your weaknesses.
We all know a wide open quarterback of ours is a recipe for turnovers.
If it's a 2-minute drill, it's a recipe for success. If it's that way forever with this line, still new, receivers still kind of not always sure where to go, it could be a problem, right? So, like, you're playing to your strengths, right? Devontae Adams, Darren Waller, Hunter Renfro, like, amazing passing attack, 5-step drop. These guys are going to get open no matter what, right? That's playing to your strength. But your weakness is that O-line. You can't do 5-step drops every single, you know, back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back plays and let the defense just pull their ears back and come at you, right? Like, Carr's going to get murdered, right? Start turning the ball over. He's going to start getting sacked and all the problems that happen with it. So you gotta not just play to your strengths, but also play to hide your weaknesses, right? Like, we're MMA guys. The strikers, you want to strike, but you want to keep a distance so you don't get taken down, right? Like, I want to just plant my feet circle. And throw heat, right? Yeah, I want to just stand in the
circle. You can't stand in front of
and
them
knock
too long.
You out. Yeah. But if I plant my feet, I'm gonna this wrestler with cauliflower ears gonna blast double my ass and I'm gonna get taken down.
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah,
do my 1-2, circle away, keep my distance. Right. Same thing with football. Play to your strengths. You're paying Devontae. You're paying Waller. Get them their ball. Get them their shots. Make it work. But you also got to protect your quarterback and protect your brand new. Put together by duct tape and baling wire O-line and not say, all right, I need 4 seconds of protection back to back to back to back plays. Like, no,
it's not going to work. It's not going to work. We had to do more play action, more screens like we were doing. And to be fair, our quarterback does like to turn the ball over regardless of line. We got to be fair about this. I'm trying to be very neutral about this. I agree that our line, it needs to be protected in pass protection, but even so, he's a little bit of a turnover machine, and we have to protect him from himself too and not ask him to do too much.
And I think that's what we did the last three games, which is why he's got, you know, technically no turnovers. It's play within yourself.
Yeah. It's a much better thing. And once we start seeing what he can handle a little bit more, we can start opening up a little bit more. That's why it's very important when we do get those shots that we need to convert on those.
And McDaniels has got to feel it by the game too, right? Like, some days Carr's got it, some day Carr don't. Sometimes this line's playing well, sometimes they're not. Sometimes Jacob's got a hot hand, sometimes he doesn't. That's what McDaniels has got to do too, is be able to adjust mid-game a little bit better than he's been doing. What do you think has been McDaniels' biggest strength and his biggest weakness in 4 weeks?
It's weird. Like anything in life, usually your strength and weakness, it ties together, right? Mm-hmm. And it's about the balance. That's the big thing, is about balance here. I think his biggest strength has been his patience. I don't see a big worry. I don't see him getting more annoyed with some of the play that he's seen offensively and defensively. It's about, let's stay the course. We've seen a lot of these New England teams in the past not start off great and get it together and finish stronger at the end. And it's a big departure from a Gruden type of team, where I think Gruden has all these crazy different little schemes and things to help him win. But then after the first half of the season, everyone's seen everything and he doesn't have anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when the dip comes. I think where we're going now with his biggest strength has been his patience. I think we've seen it get better as far as the offensive line. I think the offensive line that we had last week to end the game of Miller, Bars, James, Parham and Munford played really well. Gave Derek Carr a lot of time, opened up a lot of holes for our running backs. That's his biggest strength that I've seen so far. The biggest weakness is not identifying what the game plan should have been earlier.
Mm.
I think that after that, I think we were still a little bit too reliant on the quarterback throwing the ball in week two, and that's what got us in trouble in the second half. And I mean, he threw for 2.8 yards a throw. It's like, you can't win that way, right? So recognizing that the run game needed to be, he needed to push the run game more. That needed to happen sooner. And not relying too much on the quarterback to win you the game, as opposed to being a piece of the winning formula.
To me, his biggest weakness is not understanding his own roster. Poor offensive line. You're like, all right, just defend Carr. Okay. Not working, right? Giving up tons of pressures, tons of sacks. Defensively, you're like, all right, yeah, we can just rush our four guys and we'll get pressure. No, only Max is getting there. No one else is. You're going to have to figure that out, right? He's not playing. He's not adjusting to his roster, which is what we thought would be his biggest strength, right? Not
Malcolm Kuntz needs to play more, goddammit.
Yeah. Biggest strength, the symptom of the strength is that our penalties are doing so well, right? That's a seventh fewest penalties done, second most penalties against us. That is a symptom of a much bigger strength, and that is discipline. Mm-hmm. That is knowing your role. That is being a machine, right? I forgot the wrestling coach that said, a very famous wrestling coach, and he said, I want my wrestlers to understand what to do in every single situation and be just short of a robot. Like, you still gotta be able to think, right? You still gotta be able to feel the game, still be able to know what to do, but you are comfortable in every single situation because I've prepared you. You've drilled it. You've seen it. You've smelt it. You've tasted it. You've touched it. There's no situation where you're uncomfortable. And a big part of that is penalties, right? If you got beat and you're like, oh, what range am I in? You're going to start grabbing some guy and get a PI, right? If you don't know where the stunt's coming as a defense, as a left tackle, you're going to start grabbing people. And right, when you're comfortable where you are and you've seen it 100 times, that's where you start getting more mistake free. And I think that's what Josh McDaniels has done really well the first four games is preparing every individual player for as many individual situations as possible And the best example of that is how he's turned around the shitstorm that was Raiders penalties and turned it into a strength.
The way that Parham and Mumford handled that stunt, that twist stunt in the third quarter, it was perfect. They went shoulder to shoulder and just passed the guys off. It was a thing of beauty. And then I sent you another clip of Andre James just completely flat backing a defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. These guys have attitude, man. They have attitude now, and they know what they're supposed to do. It all starts with the lines, both offensively and defensively. If we can keep it simple for these guys, and I love to run block. That was my favorite thing to do because I knew exactly where I was going, and you didn't really know where I was going, right, as a defender.
You were the hunter. They were the hunter. Yeah.
In pass block protection, I don't know what move he's going to do on me. So it's a little bit of a role reversal, right? But yeah, get your line in used to winning. Get your line used to feeling like they're in control. Get them in a positive rhythm.
Let's talk about the offensive line for a little bit because the Raiders have played 10 different offensive linemen through 4 games. There's only 5 positions, 2 tackles, 2 guards, and a center. 10 different gentlemen have played. And that's not counting guys that have played multiple positions, like Parham, right?
Parham, also Illuminor, has played tackle and guard.
Yep. So the Raiders, they've flashed, right? Their O-line has flashed a little bit, specifically run game last game. But still playing well below average compared to the rest of the NFL out there, right? And this was to be expected, right? Like we hoped, our fingers were crossed, that there was some magic that McDaniels had in his, in his burlap sack that's going to like sprinkle on his O-lineman and they'll figure it out. Oh, he's a genius. He'll scheme around him. Well, either he's not that great of a schemer or this line's even worse than we feared. But the constant shuffling is what I think surprised the most people.
Mm-hmm.
They keep giving the line. It's like, why don't you have 5 starters? And McDaniels keeps saying like, well, we have 7 guys that are worthy of starting. It's like, no, you don't. You don't. It's like when you have 2 quarterbacks, it's like, well, we got 2 quarterbacks worthy of starting. If you have 2 quarterbacks, you have 0.
You don't have 1. Yeah.
If you have 7 linemen, you don't have a full offensive line. After 4 games, how do you see our O-line?
I'm very encouraged by that last group. Because they looked like, dude, Alex Bars, I don't know what the hell they fed him on the practice squad, but he went into the game and he looked freaking good. He went in there and he was solid. He was getting blocks on the second level. Simpson, Bars has played way better than Simpson. And again, like you said it a bunch, and it's absolutely true. On the offensive line, it's not about the individual pieces. It's about how they play as a unit. And I think the communication that this unit has is amazing. I think they played really well. They gave up 1 sack, right, in the second half. The other sack was the Illuminor group. It's encouraging moving forward. I think that group of 5 – because honestly, look, Josh McDaniels is not going to say, oh, yeah, we're playing a bunch of different guys because we don't know who the starters are yet, which is technically what was going on. He didn't know who the guys were that were going to shine, so he put guys out there, basically not like, oh, let's just throw them out there and let's see who does best. It's like, okay, we have to evaluate.
It kind of was, let's see who does best.
They weren't like throwing a dartboard against the wall, They were putting people in positions, okay, this is a good combination here. These 2 guys are good here, and then let's move these guys around. Let's see. And I think this last 5 that ended the game, that played most of the game, actually, I think Mumford came in the second quarter, was the strongest one we've seen so far this year. In a couple years, actually. I think better than anything we had last year.
I just want to see a cohesive unit as soon as possible to start building what I've been talking about, what you've been talking about forever. 5 guys on the same page that they start predicting each other's movements. They kind of give each other a glance and they know what that means. Like if you're going to trade spending big money on new guys, then that means that you're banking on young guys staying healthy, playing together, and letting the unit as a cohesive entity be much bigger than the sum of their parts. You're banking that $5-8 million linemen are going to be like, you can be better than that by having five guys of that. Yeah, they're all $8 million linemen, but this is their first time playing together. You've got $5-3 million linemen that have played hundreds and thousands of snaps together. And so they can make this work, right? If you're going to go with the latter, you gotta get them playing together. You can't be rotating them out, right? And I understand you're trying to find the best five, and maybe, you know, I guess it's a failure on the staff for not being able to identify it in the preseason, considering almost all the linemen started, like all the linemen played in the preseason, pretty much, other than Colton Miller. Like, you know, I count that as a failure on this coaching staff and this GM that they didn't identify it early enough. But
how dare you catch have up, the name Lombardi,
right? Like now you're playing catch up, right? Yeah. Figure it out quick.
And I can understand, let's say, for example, if you feel the gap between Munford and Illuminor is smaller than the gap between RJ's butt cheeks. I get that.
Yeah.
It makes sense. So you play them both and just ride the hot hand. It just happens that the hot hand the last few games has been Munford. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Honestly, Illuminor's penalties, fuck, bro. Another bad penalty, it's starting to be a problem. And I don't know that McDaniels has patience for that.
So Raiders, Chiefs, Monday Night Football, prime time. The world is watching this beautiful AFC West rivalry. As much as the Broncos have been the Raiders' slump buster, the Chiefs have been the Raiders' Achilles heel. Remember last season, they dropped us to 6-7 with one of the worst beatdowns that we've had in several years. It led to you and me coming on this very show afterwards and saying, season's over, pack it in, burn the entire place down and salt the earth so nothing can grow again. Boy, were we wrong. We were 1-4 in a row and went to the playoffs. But all this goodwill, all this momentum, and on paper, traditionally, the Chiefs are the ones to slow it down. How are you feeling going into this long week?
You know, I feel a lot better than I did after week three. And it's not just because we won. It's because how we won and we were able to sustain that game plan the entire game. We played a full game. I felt better than the first half of the Arizona game, even though we were kicking the shit out of them. Because we showed that we can play an entire game and follow a game plan and see it through for entire four quarters. And it came at the perfect time because there's something that we do need to clean up. But that game plan, eating up the clock, keeping Mahomes off the field, don't letting him get too many possessions, limit their possessions, right? That's what we need to do. During a game like this, what's going to happen is we want to run the ball, right? And we're going to start off the game running the ball and trying to be effective running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chiefs know this, so they're going to load the box up. They're going to dare our quarterback to beat them with his arm, which he has done, but it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
Our quarterback has some advantages. Like, although we did have some drop passes against Tennessee, we're one of the best teams in the league at not dropping the ball. We're, I think, number 6 in the league of fewest drop passes.
Mm-hmm.
Where we need to improve is the shots that we do take need to be cashed in. So those are the two main objectives offensively. We have to be able to commit and sustain a running attack the entire game. And when we do take the shots, they need to be good ones. They need to connect. Because look, this is, I'm not trying to bash anybody. I'm just giving you numbers. We have the 7th highest percentage of poor throws per pass attempt this year. And we have the 2nd worst percentage of on-target throws per attempt, only behind Chicago, and they don't throw the fucking ball ever, okay? So our throws need to be, when we do make those shots down the field, they have to come through. They have to be on target, and we have to catch them.
How about this? Fuck the Chiefs. Max Crosby is going to maim Patrick Mahomes. Nate Hobbs is going to molest the tight end that will remain nameless. Kansas City, we talk about, oh man, our red zone offense ain't that great. Kansas City has the 30th worst red zone defense. We are going to score touchdowns. We're going to get six every time we sniff that end zone.
We have to.
Raiders run defense, pretty damn good. Keeping everyone under 4 yards per carry. We're going to force them to be one-dimensional. We're going to force them to air it out. They want to be they've been trying to be a more balanced offense this season. Right? Andy Reid's like, all right, no Tyreek Hill. Let's try to run the ball a little bit more. They're not going to be able to. They're not going to be able to.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
how about that, Soto?
In a perfect world, yes, I agree.
Put that in your peace pipe and smoke it, Chiefs.
The biggest thing here is we can move the ball into the red zone. It's you can't beat Patrick Mahomes with threes. You can't. You need touchdowns. And I think that the beginning of the year didn't start off great. I think our quarterback was 33% completion percentage going into game four against the Broncos in the red zone. That's not going to get it done. The red zone, he was a little bit better this year, this game against the Broncos. He was 4 for 9, so it was better than 33%, but still no touchdowns. Like, that needs to change. Balance in offense is not all about how many plays you call. It's not all about yardage. It's about how you score, too. You need to be able to attack and score through the air and through the ground. That balance needs to be a little bit equalized, too.
Chiefs ain't going to have shit on us in the red zone. We're in the red zone. We're scoring.
We need to. Guaranteed. Because
we're going to be ball deep in their end zone. We're not even
Mahomes loves. He loves beating us. Red zone.
It's going to be red because we're going to be fucking the red zone so hard. It's going to start bleeding all over us.
Jesus.
That's what we're going to do in the red zone.
Graphic.
Did I properly paint the picture of what the Raiders are going to do in the Chiefs red zone? I hope so.
I hope so too.
How about that?
I hope we get it through the air and through the ground. I can give a shit how we do it, but the balance is key. Because look, here's the difference. If we don't start cashing in through the air in the red zone, teams are going to key in on us, and it's going to be murder. It's going to be tough for us to score if we can't score through the air, because they're just going to load the box against us, and it's going to be hard.
I mean, defensively, it's pretty much just stopping the tight end, right? Like, no one else is really like that dangerous.
Not really. I mean,
no one's like scary. I mean, look, it's Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
MVS, right? They schemed MVS open. They use their running backs a lot in the passing game now, which, because of the threat of Mahomes' arm throwing deep, you get those huge, big gaps. You get those big chunks where the linebackers play a little bit further back. You know, the DBs are drawn a little bit further back, and those dump off plays. You have a lot of those plays where those running backs are out in the open, and they get a big, big chunk plays that way.
Look, obviously, you know, Josh Jacobs played out of his mind on Sunday, but other than that, like, we've been waiting for the Raiders to put together two complete halves, right?
Yeah.
First half, like they did against the Cardinals, you know, second half against the Titans, like offense and defensively, like they've put together some amazing. It's only a matter of time. If we put together back-to-back complete halves, no one can beat the Raiders. Like, if we do back-to-back complete halves. And we've been flirting with it for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
We're underdogs, but it's not some crazy idea like that the Raiders can't beat the Chiefs on Monday night. Like, it's just literally two complete halves. It's just getting up at the right time. If after the momentum of getting your first win in Denver, you're going against division rival in the Chiefs, Monday night football, prime time, this is your time to shine. Like, if this doesn't get this team to put it all together, going into the fight, let it all out, baby. Drain those balls. You got a bye week next, right? Get it all out there. This is the week, week 5. You've had over a month now to build this cohesion we've been talking about. New scheme, new coaches, new faces. You have 5 weeks. You got a little bit of momentum behind you. Prime time. This is where we finally put together 4 great quarters. We put together 4 solid quarters last week. No quarter was amazing. Not like, you know, the weeks before where we'd have a quarter or a half that was bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
4 great quarters that we're very capable of. Just got to do them all in a row. Monday night's the night we do it.
Yeah, I mean, look, defensively, we haven't given up that many points, man. We gave up 23 this last game, 23 again.
Well, we gave up more points to the Broncos than they have in any other week. Like, we gave up more points to the Broncos in a half than they've made an entire game. So
yeah, but I mean, look,
we haven't been great in points. We haven't been stellar.
No, I mean, that's not, look, if you're losing games, only giving up 23 points per game, then that's an offensive problem. That's not a defensive problem. And against the Cardinals, we only gave up 23 points. That last 6 points wasn't against the defense.
Yeah.
So our defense is doing a good enough job to keep us in every single game. The issue is we're not scoring enough touchdowns in the red zone. That's our, because we're getting there. We're just not finishing the job. So this season we have halves where we have given up, two halves where we've given up 0 points, and one half where we only gave up 3 points. So it's possible for us, if we put it all together, to, you know, limit these high power teams. The issue is we got to go out and do it.
Ready to some what a Wimax?
You know it.
A Spivey. You two are like an old married couple. I love it. I take offense to that. We are the hot new recently married couple that have moved into your neighborhood and you guys are jealous of. Big difference.
Well, I mean, we do argue a lot and don't have any sex, which is kind of cool. That's an old married couple.
Dominique 5. Why does Jermaine Illuminor keep starting just to get replaced every game? I can only guess that because Illuminor did look like Rory was right. He did look like the best right tackle we had in the preseason. That's not saying a lot, right? But in the preseason, like, all right, he's probably our best bet. And I can imagine that the staff is like, okay, he's kind of the dude now. By process, not like he's the man, but by process of elimination, someone has to be, and it's him. But then once the bright lights come on, he just gets outplayed.
You know, it's that thing where I was talking about earlier. It's like your reputation versus your reality. Mm-hmm. The reality is he gets beat and he gets penalized way too much. I know that he has done well for JMD in the past. But unfortunately, right now, Thayer Munford is playing better than him. Playing better than Illuminor. Again, one of those things about, hey, being patient, it's great. But also, you got to be able to pull the trigger, too. You got to know when it's time. And he's been hurting us, especially with his penalties, because two of those were in the red zone. Two of those were at the goal line. One on a two-point conversion, another one at the goal line. That we ended up not converting either one as for touchdowns or two-point conversion. We got a field goal on one. But, yeah, we can't have that.
I just think Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler love taking pride in having starters that aren't like American, you know, they got like Jakobsen, you know, they love some of those Super Bowl teams. Like, they had Stephen Neal at guard, a guy who didn't play college football, but he was like an Olympic wrestler. I think they just love like being able to like, oh, I found this diamond in the rough. Who's like, you know,
he gets penalized every game at least once.
Yeah.
The hell out of here with that.
He misses plays because he has to take a tea break every single afternoon. He misses a meeting. I think he just likes saying, oh, we got international talent.
Yeah, whatever.
Matthew, it wasn't perfect, but we got the win. We needed it badly, I'll say. I'll take it. Morale booster for sure. Hopefully they build on this and improve. Next week is a big game. Let's go! !! How big of a morale booster was this for the team? Because I don't feel like the morale was low. I mean, obviously wasn't great losing three in a row, but it felt like it didn't. I think more importantly than the morale boost was the fact you didn't go in the whole four games.
Yeah.
And have to win, you know, our next 10 to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right. I think it's a great morale booster for us. I think it was just purely win-loss dynamic that was the bigger element.
I think it was just more of a pressure reliever, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the more, you know, 4-0 going in, yeah, we need a manual release. Because I'm convinced that the team is on board with what JMD wants. I'm convinced of that. I'm also convinced that they know that they screwed up certain parts of those games and let it get away from them. I know for a fact Darren Waller was banging his head against the wall saying, shit, if I would have done XYZ, we would have won this game. I know Renfro was saying, fuck, if I wouldn't have done this, we would have won that game. I know our quarterback is saying, dude, if I wouldn't have done this, we could have won this game. And it's as simple as that. Every single person needs to show up and do their job and do their job well, because if one person screws up, it could cost us the entire game. And in our different losses, it's been a different person. Okay? So I think the best part of this game is we've identified how we have to play, and we have identified how we have to progress moving forward. It's not a wide open offense anymore. We can't have the whole thing like that. We can't do that because, you know, we've seen with our own eyes that our quarterback will turn over the ball too much. We can't win that way. We can't. We're not that type of team defensively that can get the ball back for us. It's just not going to work. So seeing it happen, knowing, okay, we know, guys, we know, everyone knows we got to establish the run and then blah, 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 and this and that. Okay, great. But seeing it actually happen and actually work for you, that's a big morale boost as well. Because honestly, look, I know people hate this moniker and they think it's a slight or a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think the tag of game manager is a bad thing. I think that if you have a propensity to turn the ball over, like you said, you have to play to your strengths and also play to your weaknesses. And turning the ball over when your team defense doesn't turn the ball, get turnovers, it's a recipe for disaster. So
we talked about it last year.
Yeah.
What do you want Carr to be? Wide open, tons of yards, moving the ball a lot with a ton of turnovers? Or do you want him more conservative, run when he has to, and yes, the ball up a lot more?
That's what we want. Passes,
no turnovers.
That's what we need.
He's proven he's one or the other, right? And it's like you unleash Carr when you need to. Right. When you're rolling the dice, right? 2 minute drill, he's phenomenal. Right. It's like, all right, yeah, we're down five.
Well, if you need a field goal, if you need a field goal, he's the best in the league in the 2 minute drill. Mm-hmm. If you need a touchdown, maybe not so much. But if you need that field goal, I agree with you 100%. Because that the red zone play is not good. It's just, it is what it is. Okay. And regardless of who's out there, weapons, scheme, whatever, he hasn't been good for a while. And he's not good now. So what we need to do is build up that confidence to figure out what he does well in this offense and play off of that. And that's why I told you in the offseason, you thought I was fucking crazy. 28, 30, 32 throws a game. That's it. Don't throw any more than that. We don't need him to throw any more than that, because once you get in that higher numbers, that's when the turnover propensity goes up. We don't need that. 30 throws, 33, something like that a game, that's perfect. Leave it there.
Well, he did 34, and he had no turnovers this game. I forgot what he had last week, and it was also technically there was the pick, but it was, you know, it's all Waller. I think it's more just getting used to the system and picking it that way. Like I still say 30, 35, 40 passes is the way to go. It's just how you're throwing it,
bro. It's just too many, man. Look,
Devontae needs his targets, man. Why?
I understand, and he will.
Needs his target,
and he will. But the thing is, even regardless of who's coaching and who's on the team, our quarterback has shown that he turns over the ball a lot. And you can't put that pressure on your offensive line to be able to have to pass block that many times. You just can't do it. It's not about the quarterback at that point, because he fumbles a lot too. It's not about interceptions. We have to cut that down. We have to control that as much as we can. And that's why when we do take those shots, we need to improve. Because look, as much as we want to blame the drop passes for our losses, our receivers don't drop a lot of passes. It's statistical. We don't. The ball placement needs to, yeah, right. The ball placement needs to get better.
It's the worst time.
The ball placement needs to get better, and that's statistical. That's been shown. Keep it simple. Keep the read simple. Help our quarterback as much as we can, because when we ask him to do too much, more often than not, it hasn't turned out great.
I'm still convinced he can be the quarterback we've had the last three seasons that can throw for a billion yards and protect the ball.
He hasn't protected the ball, it's not going to happen overnight.
Well, last three games he has. Last three games he has.
Yes, and so he hasn't been asked. He shouldn't be asked to do that much.
So you combine the skills of last season that he's developed, the last three seasons that he's developed, with this new, hopefully this new permanent Josh McDaniels, this is how we're going to protect the ball, blessing on Carr, bestowing on Carr, baptism of Carr, whatever you want to call it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that combination is, you find that beautiful middle ground.
Yeah.
Because these Carr's going to be called to win some games for us, right? We're not going to be able to just run on the way we always like, we did.
No. We need to. We need him.
Right? So,
yeah.
He's going to have to be unleashed at certain times, and it's just a matter of scheming it right and picking the shots.
Scheming it right, picking the shots, and also executing. We have to make sure everything has to be in line because look, we have to go off of what we've seen. And the yards are great, but the quarterback has two major roles in this in a team. Is put points on the board and take care of the ball. He doesn't throw for enough touchdowns for as many turnovers as he's doing. So if that's who he is, if he's a 25 touchdown a year guy, those turnovers have to be 10 and under. They have to be. He cannot turn over the ball more than that if he's not putting up the touchdowns. A part of that is the red zone issue. But they all work together. But all we can go off of is what we've seen. And we've seen a wide open Derek Carr is high. And it's not all about interceptions, it's about the fumbles too. So we can't do that. That's especially when you have a defense that doesn't turn the ball over. We've seen the formula, we've seen the recipe, we know how to execute it. It's not a hard line, it's gonna be a sliding scale. Sometimes it's gonna be a little even more run heavy. So that's going to be a little bit more pass heavy, but we have the recipe now, and we can't. What the one thing that we've seen from our quarterback is if you give him enough opportunity, he will turn the ball over, and we just can't do that.
And he'll also score. Like the recipe you're talking about got us to the playoffs last season with a bad defense and not great of a run game. Now
I don't want to make this about him. But it's flirting.
You're not wrong, right?
But his last four games that got us into the playoffs were arguably his worst four games stretch of the season, statistically.
But it was the other six games too, right? Like the beginning of the season, it was all Carr. Remember, like it was him throwing 400 yards, and like he literally like willed this team
and we to can't start rely
to start
on that.
Strong, right?
We can't rely that, on that, man.
That I nor would we want to do. We're not in a good spot if we're relying on Carr to throw for 400 yards like he did early last season. Right? That's not the goal. My point is there's a good middle ground to be able to harness the amazing parts of Carr that we saw last season and pull the reins back on the turnover Carr. We're starting to catch a glimpse of it in the last three games where he had basically no turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's possible. He just did it 3 weeks in a row, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's build on that. Now it's expound on that.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
And I'm hoping the no turnovers the last 3 weeks is not fluky, but Carr, McDaniels, everybody getting on the same page. We knew it was going to be slow, right? We knew preseason. Like this offense is going to be firing on all five cylinders out of the gate. I think we all pretty much agreed on that. It's like, yeah, Carr takes a while to get adjusted. McDaniels is very complicated system. We got some youth in the old line. This may take a while, right? I'm hoping, and I'm cautiously optimistic, that that's what we're currently seeing in real time.
Yeah,
back-to-back games, no turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
Building on that.
Yeah, look, it's the turnovers are great, and again, it's that sliding scale. So we have to open it up a little bit more because the touchdowns aren't great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to have more production throwing the ball as well. Now, does it have to be three touchdowns a game? Does it even have to be two touchdowns throwing a game? It doesn't have to be, but we do have to have some success through the air. And the turnovers low. That's the key thing. I will trade having to run the ball more for more touchdowns than getting the turnovers, because that one, it's just we can't match the turnovers. It's just for whatever reason right now our defense is not built that way.
Monday night,
man. Big one.
Have some fun out there. Until then, knock on wood if you're with me.